20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
7 days. We are 7 days into practice already. Where the heck does the time go? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Of course, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Tell your friend, tell your mom, tell your sister, tell your dog, tell everyone about the show. We appreciate it a ton and appreciate all the support. Speaking of which, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast members, Nathan Krink, Darcy Kemnitz, Large Aaron, King Kermit 01, Damon, Heartbroken Hog, and Trenton Pates, which, by the way, this group of new signees, best group of names I think we've had yet. But I appreciate you guys signing up. Thank you so much for checking the memberships out. I hope you're enjoying all the content. If you haven't had the opportunity yet to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships, make sure to do so. 4 different tiers available. All tiers are going to get additional content, bonus videos, bonus member Q&As, all of it. So again, make sure to check those out. And if you have not been checking out Packer Report and Cheesehead TV, make sure that you are going to visit those sites every single day as well. They do a great job of supporting the Pack-A-Day Podcast. So please make sure you are supporting them also. All right, let's get into everything that happened on day 7, because there was a lot of really interesting takeaways, but we got to start with some of the transactions and the new faces at practice. 3 new-ish faces at practice. The first, Peter Bowden, long snapper out of Wisconsin. Of course, he was the player who just got released when they needed to bring in Jacob Eason as another camp arm. When they brought in Eason, again, they released Bowden. Now, Bowden is back. I thought maybe that would mean Eason was gone, but that is not the case. But either way, we have a long snapper competition again. It's tough for me to tell how big of a competition this is going to be. They just released him, subjected him to waivers, let him go for a few days. They could have gone with a different position, but they didn't. They let the second long snapper go. Now, maybe they felt like he'd be the most likely one that they'd be able to get back. It's just a long snapper, but I would still give a pretty big, I guess, nod to Matt Orzech at this point for, you know, who will make the final 53 when they just cut this guy. But we'll see. He will now have the opportunity to compete again and show what he's capable of. And maybe, just maybe, he can still have a chance at making the roster at long snapper. They also brought in Don Callis, a corner who was at Packers minicamp as a tryout player, as a tryout player, did not get signed at that point, but now Green Bay does bring him in. Robert Rochelle had been a little bit banged up at corner, but he was actually back at practice. More on that in a minute. They did release Zion Gilbert, though, at corner, so they did maybe have a little bit more of a need there. And then they also brought in LJ Davis, another corner. We'll talk about him in a moment as well. But those are your 3 new players, Peter Bowden, and then 2 corners, Don Callis and LJ Davis. Your released players, as mentioned, Zion Gilbert, James Turner, the kicker. That one was not surprising. I thought there were 2 players, Jacob Eason and James Turner, that would be likely potential cut candidates to bring some new faces in. It was not Eason, but it was Turner. Turner was just clearly the number 3 guy in the kicker battle. I don't think there was an avenue for him to sort of win. It just looked like the other 2 were more confident, were more calm on the ball, are just kicking it better, have better upside. And it was just going to be probably too steep of a climb for Turner to get into it. Turner had already missed far more field goals than either Joseph or Anders Carlson did in camp at this point. So again, it felt like a very logical release at this point, hoping he can find somewhere else. He did get released off of Detroit before he went to Green Bay. And remember, Detroit's kicker just went on IR for the season. So maybe Detroit brings him back. We will see. But either way, James Turner, no longer a Packer. And then maybe the most interesting release, Henry Pearson, the lone fullback on the roster. It was interesting because I had just been talking at practice about how we really haven't seen any Henry Pearson fullback snaps. And then, of course, as I said it, we got a Henry Pearson fullback snap, but he was being used more as like an H-back type. And that's not really who he is. He can do it a little bit, but he's a fullback. It just feels like Green Bay wants to go more that H-back route and doesn't want a true fullback on this roster. They would have had the opportunity to bring that guy in. And let's be real, the rest of the league, for the most part, is going away from that fullback position as well. Not everyone. If you can find the right player, there can still be a right place and a right time for that fullback. But I think Green Bay's right in their system that they can utilize their tight ends. in more of an H-back role, motion them into the backfield as kind of a pseudo fullback if you need be, and you don't need a dedicated position for that spot. So a little bit surprising that Pearson, somebody who can play special teams and really was the only fullback on the roster, was let go this early before even family night or any preseason games. But clearly, I think Green Bay had the indication either Pearson wasn't that guy or that they just really had no need for a fullback on this roster. So gone Zion Gilbert, who, by the way, had a tough day at practice a couple days ago, gave up a couple big plays. I'm sure that probably didn't help. Again, James Turner and Henry Pearson. Good news, no new injuries to report. Everyone that had, you know, basically been at practice continued to practice. And they also got some good news on some returns from injury. Zane Anderson and Robert Rochelle, who were more recently injured, were both back at practice doing individual drills, as were two rookies, Ketan Oladapo and Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd making his training camp debut. Ketan Oladapo making really his Packers debut. Oladapo missed rookie minicamp, minicamp OTA, and the start of training camp with a foot injury, foot or toe, I forget which one it was, but foot injury that he had from the NFL Combine. This was his first opportunity to practice, so it was great to see really all those guys, but certainly Ketan for the first time, and then Marshawn Lloyd for the first time in camp. All of that left really three guys on the injury report, three guys that weren't practicing, which is, I'm not even going to say it. We're not going to jinx anything. Keyshawn Banks, edge rusher, Deslon Alexander, edge rusher, and Tucker Kraft, still on PUP as a tight end, obviously. So those are your three Packers that were not practicing. They also did come to an injury settlement with Alex Magoo. If you're always interested in how that works, when a player is hurt, you release him with an injury designation. When you release a player with an injury designation, all the rest of the team still has the ability to claim that player knowing that he's hurt, but maybe they want to put him on the roster and see if he can get back healthy, or they'll be the ones that put him on IR. If you do not, or if he does not get claimed, which is usually the case, it's very rare that somebody gets claimed injured, he reverts back to your roster. And he's on the injured reserve list then. And then you work out an injury settlement, release him off of injured reserve, and then he's finally off the roster itself. So Alex Magoo now officially off the roster. As far as LJ Davis goes, not a ton of info. We're not going to do a huge scouting report on LJ Davis, but 6'1", 203 pounds, corner out in Northern Arizona, was an undrafted free agent for the Titans in 2023, had a 55.4 PFF grade in 48 preseason snaps in 2023. I do not believe he had made any practice squads or anything like that last year. So this is his opportunity to try to get back in the league and try to make a name for himself. All right, starting lineup on Tuesday, Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Tyler Davis and Luke Musgrave at tight end, Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed at wide receiver, Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Kadeem Telfort along the offensive line. Your defensive line, Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith along the edge. Kenny Clark and Colby Wooden, interestingly enough, at defensive tackle. Isaiah McDuffie, Quay Walker, and Eric Wilson at linebacker. Stokes and Jair at corner. McKinney, and then it was an Evan Williams day at safety with the ones. Although we did see some Bullard. I don't know if we saw any Anthony Johnson Jr. with the ones, but those guys continue to rotate. One of my first things that I'm very pleased about, if you listen to my episode with Paul Brettle from yesterday, we went through a buy or sell. And my players on the sell list, Sean Clifford, Josh Jacobs, the offensive line, Ketan Oladapo. Now, if Josh Jacobs, Ketan Oladapo might sound a little bit interesting, go back and listen to the episode. I explain why. But my happiness today is that I thought all four of those had an interesting bounce back. So clearly, all of them listeners of the Packaday podcast, clearly that added a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. But let's start with Sean Clifford. Really starting to get into a rhythm in the red zone periods. Had a beautiful touchdown, his best throw of camp to Grant Dubose in the back of the end zone. Bought a little bit of time, rifle shot right back of the end zone. Dubose was able to get both feet in. Really nice play from those two. There's a play where LVN came untouched, but Clifford was able to get it out to Bo Melton in time. That was a touchdown on a quick out. And then Jaden Hicks, he had a touchdown too as well. So really nice day from Sean Clifford in the red zone periods. There were some other periods where maybe it wasn't quite as good, but we still finally saw some signs from Sean Clifford. So my one guy that I sold, again, Sean Clifford, had a very nice bounce back day, especially in the red zone period. From a Josh Jacobs standpoint, I said, my big issue is I haven't seen anything dynamic. I haven't seen any big runs. Well, he had two pretty big runs and one very big run at practice on Tuesday, and specifically one run, again, the second one here, the big one, where he did a great job setting up the run, bouncing it outside, showing a little bit more of that dynamic ability, and we finally got our big-time Josh Jacobs play, which was fun to see, fun to watch, and it looked like Josh Jacobs, the Josh Jacobs that we were expecting. So that was a great sign. I thought the offensive line did a bit better job in run blocking and then a bit better job as well in pass protection. Still some issues at times. Jordan Morgan had a couple snafus with Carl Brooks we'll talk about. LVN came clean on one. Wyatt came clean on one. But I still thought overall, if you looked at some of the plays, I thought the quarterbacks had more time in the pocket than they have in recent practices. And then Ketanji Oladapo, my reason for selling him was because he just hasn't been able to get on the field. Nothing to do with Oladapo or anything that he did wrong, but rookies get so far behind the eight ball when they don't have any opportunity to practice. And look what happens. He's back to practice on Tuesday. So again, these are never meant to be negative. Pretty much nothing that I ever do is meant to be negative or tearing people down in any way. It's just, these are all conversations. And as I said on the happy hour the other day, never too high, never too low. When things are going great, they're probably not that great. When things are going awful, they're probably not that awful. And there's always opportunity for growth. This Packers team is going to lose some games this year. They're going to have some opportunities to bounce back. They're going to have the opportunity to win some games, maybe even in some blowout fashion. There's going to be players who far exceed our expectations. There will certainly be players that come nowhere near our expectations and fail our expectations. And there'll be a lot of players that just stay status quo, maybe don't take that step forward. These are all things we're going to go through every single year. There's always going to be a tier of players that we're super excited about, a lot of people in the middle, and then a tier of players that we're like, what's going on? Why are they not performing the way that we would expect them to? Happens every single year, but very happy to see that some of these players bounce back in a big way on Tuesday. All right, Romeo Doubs is another player I want to talk about. Talked about him a little bit on the quick hits, but Jair Alexander post-practice said that Romeo Doubs is the second best wide receiver in the NFL to only Davante Adams. Probably a little bit of a bias here, but Romeo's had a really nice start to camp and he looks like a better version of Romeo Doubs. If Green Bay can get the Romeo Doubs we saw in the playoffs last year consistently, man, what a huge get that would be for this team. And I don't think that that's a anywhere near impossible thing. He's been really, really good. Yeah, I know sometimes there's some inefficiencies. I know there's sometimes where the strong hands don't exactly play like strong hands, but in camp so far, the route running's been great. The releases off the line of scrimmage have been great. The hands have been great. He consistently finds ways to get open, can work over the middle, can go get a jump ball as we saw the other day in practice. He can do a little bit of everything. Had a touchdown against Eric Stokes in the red zone periods. Had another completion on a deep crosser, which we'll talk about those in just a little bit. Also beat Jair in the one-on-ones twice. The other one, it was a little bit out of bounds, but he actually had a great route on the play. It's not just that he's winning, it's the way that he's winning. And we're starting to see Romeo Doubs get more and more nuance for the position, more of that artistry, more of that ability to separate. And that's what's so exciting is it's not just that he's playing well, it's how he's winning. It's how he's beating these corners. And that to me is what's exciting. And I do think that he's making the name for himself to say like, hey, don't forget about me. And if we are going to have a conversation about a true number one wide receiver, I'm going to be very much in that conversation. So really nice start for Romeo Doubs. And clearly Jair Alexander thinks the most. So Jair will always go against who he thinks is the best wide receiver because it's a iron sharpens iron thing. And he chooses Romeo Doubs to go against. He had three opportunities. Romeo got the best of them on Tuesday. I talked about those deep crossers. If there's anything that we've seen since Jordan Love has been back that has been a bit of a weakness for this Packers defense, and really what I would argue has been the only kind of weakness for this Packers defense so far, is some of these deep crossing routes. And that's not to be totally unexpected. If you can give your quarterback time, you know, you think you're playing a deep safety and you're going a lot of man-to-man, deep crossers in a man-to-man is a tough thing. You know, you can, you know, start pressing them down the field and then start sprinting to the entire opposite side of the field and really get going. And what you're going to do is you're usually going to run a deep post or a fly route behind it to take that single high safety with you. Now you end up with a deep crosser on a one-on-one. And we've seen over the last few days, this could be something that the defense has to be a little bit more cognizant of and aware of to make sure that these big plays are not happening, because we have seen this deep crosser play work for this offense ever since Jordan Love has been back. All right, LVN, stacked back-to-back days of success. I thought his last two practices were the two best that we've seen out of him. Had a sack where he split Caleb Jones and Donovan Jennings on a little bit of a, I think it was a stunt inside. He had another sack of Sean Clifford. Now, Sean Clifford ran into that one a little bit, but you'll take it. He came unblocked for a pressure, thought he helped well in run defense. Like overall, you know, a lot of those were maybe a little bit gift wrapped, but I've liked what I've seen from LVN these past couple days. I do think he's continuing to show signs of improvement, and that's a big development to keep an eye on because we know the untapped potential that LVN has. Speaking of potential, another player along the defensive line that has had his best camp of his career so far is Jonathan Ford. Now, rewind a year ago. Remember that when the Packers did their initial 53-man roster on cutdown day, Jonathan Ford was not released. He was on the 53. And then as they made some transactions like claiming Ben Sims and a couple other things, they ultimately released Jonathan Ford, put him on the practice squad, and that's where he stayed the remainder of the year. Never got back up to the 53, if my memory serves me correct. And this is, as we talked about, like with Luke Tenuta and Caleb Jones and some of the other guys in this roster, it's a make or break year for Jonathan Ford. It's probably now or never. If he cannot put together a performance that would show that he's ready to play right now, it's probably just time to move on. And even if he does, it's still going to be tough because you have Clark, you have Slayton, you have Wyatt, you have Brooks, you have Wooden. Are you going to keep six defensive tackles? Probably not. So you might even need some injury help or, if maybe, I guess you consider Colby Wooden as a defensive end too, because he can play a little bit outside of there and maybe he can be kept as the fifth defensive end and then Ford is the fifth defensive tackle. But It's a very important offseason for Jonathan Ford, and he's looked really good. He's held up against the run. He's reset the line of scrimmage a couple times. He's burst into the backfield a couple times. He's made some big plays. Coach Ogabasi, it seems to have him as a little bit of a pet project. He is getting excited anytime Jonathan Ford does anything. It's been fun. It's been fun to watch him. He's a big dude. You just kind of want to weaponize him. Can you figure out something where if you need to call up Jonathan Ford for 10, 15 snaps a game, can you get good 10 to 15 snaps? Right now, it looks like that answer is trending towards yes, a very nice start to camp for Jonathan Ford. All right, we had an interesting two-minute drill at the end of practice for the ones. This is the situation. It was just the ones that got to do it. They were down by 7 points, down by a touchdown, a true seven, 22 seconds left, but the ball was on the defense's 18-yard line. No timeouts, first and 10. The first and 10 probably doesn't matter all that much in that situation, but you get the point. Very first play, Love throws, pass broken up by Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon is having an awesome camp so far. We'll talk a little bit more about him in a second as well, but pass breakup, number one, Keyshawn Nixon. The next play, Love rolls right. Luke Musgrave runs a fantastic route, gets a ton of separation, back of the end zone, game on the line, Love to Musgrave. Love throws it right to him, and Musgrave clanks it right off his hands. And then, of course, what happens on the next play, Love comes back, throws a little bit of an anticipation throw to Christian Watson in the end zone. Eric Stokes jumps it, and it ends up being an interception. Christian Watson took the blame for how he ran that route after practice, basically saying he needs to cut it in a little bit more aggressively, just a little bit quicker. Didn't really give Jordan Love an opportunity on that play. You know, Love probably would still like to have it back in some capacity, but I think more importantly, both of them probably wish Luke Musgrave just would have caught the touchdown the play earlier. Instead, it ends up to a game-sealing Eric Stokes interception, who continues to also have a very nice camp in his own regard. Kicking competition. Greg Joseph goes 6 for 6 on the day. Anders Carlson goes 5 for 6. So Joseph is now 22 of 24 so far. And Carlson is now 21 of 24. So Carlson now is one up. Joseph is one up on Carlson through the start of training camp so far. I think that's important, but I do think training camp and preseason are going to go a lot further in determining that competition. And if it's anywhere close, I still very much expect it to be Anders Carlson. But Greg Joseph, one up at the moment. We'll see if that continues through the remainder of camp. All right, some miscellaneous notes. Tyler Davis was used at H-back. He had a really nice play, by the way, too, in pass pro that gave, it was Clifford, some additional time to throw down the field. Unfortunately, Clifford missed that throw. But Tyler Davis getting some time at H-back. A lot. I was asked in the Q&A of, are they going to be able to keep four tight ends? And how I kind of placed it is, you know, remember last year they kept three tight ends and then Josiah DeGuara as an H-back. So it was kind of four in that group. You had Sims, Musgrave, Kraft at tight end, and then, you know, Josiah DeGuara as that H-back. I could see them maybe trying to transition Tyler Davis into that role. Ben Sims is your blocking tight end. Kraft is your overall tight end. Musgrave's your move tight end. And clearly Musgrave and Kraft can do some other stuff as well. But I wonder if that's where they go, and maybe they do keep four of those guys. But we did kind of get a better glimpse of Tyler Davis as an H-back, and I thought it was a good day for him, although he did have one drop on a quick little pass. But other than that, he continues to impress and have a nice training camp. Another really impressive run by Emmanuel Wilson. He has had multiple big runs through the course of camp. He gets through the hole, good patience, and then great acceleration. Puts a move on Anthony Johnson Jr. in the open field to pick up even more yards. It seems like almost once a day, Emmanuel Wilson is breaking a 20-plus yard run right now. You love to see that from him. Best day yet from Carl Brooks. He beat Jordan Morgan on a couple plays, reset the line of scrimmage about 5-6 yards into the backfield on the first. On the second, he exploded into the backfield for I think probably more of a pressure. I think the quarterback did get away, but still could have been easily, you know, potentially could have been a sack in a real game. Either way, ends up being a couple nice plays for Carl Brooks. And again, his best day of camp so far. McDuffie, Cooper, and Hopper all had run stops right at, or maybe just a little bit beyond the line of scrimmage, but those guys continue to set the tone as run defenders. Devontae Wyatt had an insta sack against Sean Clifford, just an immediate win into the backfield, an easy sack on Sean Clifford. McKinney dropped in a very easy pick of Jordan Love in the red zone period. Love lofted one up. McKinney saw it the whole way, jumped it, should have had a pick, but unfortunately went off of his hands. Pratt had a big time throw in the red zone periods to Jaden Hicks. And that also ended up being dropped. There was a lot of weird drops on the day. The Musgrave one, the Hicks one, McKinney dropped one. Benny Sapp had an interception, hit his hands, and he dropped it. And then, of course, there was one other one I thought too. Either way, doesn't really matter, but a lot of dropped interceptions and big plays that could have been, that ended up not being so because people could not hang on to the ball. In dime, we saw a three safety look. We saw two corners on the outside. We saw Stokes and Jair with Nixon in the slot, and then McKinney deep, and then two safeties just directly ahead of McKinney in Evan Williams and Javon Bullard. So a three safety look in dime. I think one of our first looks at dime defense so far this offseason. Keyshawn Nixon, another really nice day, had a in one-on-ones, I should say, the opposing wide receiver went 0 for 3 against him. And he just had another, big day in coverage overall too, and even some of the team activities. So he continues to be very impressive and take a step as a cover slot corner, where he really sort of started to, I think, take a step at the end of last year. Now he's carrying that over and looks even better. Aaron Mosby went right through Emmanuel Wilson on a blitz pickup. Wilson tried to pick him up, and Mosby just kind of dog walked him back to the quarterback. And then as far as Jordan Love's day, Bill Huber had him at 5 for 13 on the day. If you want to know why that's one of the last notes, why we're not even really discussing it, because it's still very early. He's still working off a little bit of rust. And that 5 of 13 would have been 6 for 12 had Luke Musgrave just held on to the pass. You know, so either way, no concerns about Love. The big time throws that he's making look really, really good. And he'll get into a rhythm with this offense sooner rather than later. And we're going to be talking about how Jordan Love is probably cooking and doing some great stuff. If we're 2 weeks from now and Jordan's still struggling, we'll have a different conversation. But no, absolutely zero concern at this point for Jordan. Last but not least, Matt LaFleur was asked about Daniel Whalen before practice. And he really went out of his way to say how outstanding Daniel Whalen has been. So he's the one guy on the roster without any competition. Now we kind of understand why they clearly think a ton of Daniel Whalen, and I do as well. I think they found their long-term punter, and they obviously got to get him signed at some point to a longer-term deal, but they still have him under team control, no concerns at this point, and he is off to a really nice start to his Packers career. That's going to do it for me for day 7. Thank you so much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. You guys are the absolute best. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Guestford. We are doing a special All-Pro and Hall of Fame members event tonight on Wednesday night. So if you're an All-Pro or Hall of Fame member and want to attend that, it is in the community notes. I'll be sending out another note as well. And if you have been thinking about becoming a Hall of Fame or All-Pro member, now would be a pretty good time to do so. We're going to get together at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night on a StreamYard call, but everyone, or the first nine people in at least, will get the opportunity to come and be live on camera as well. All right. Thank you so much again. Always appreciate you guys. I will see you tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.